This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
But my name, some of you do not know me. I'm Jaco. I've been here for the last, I think, almost 8 years now. And it's amazing to see how God, what God is doing, especially tonight. I think that for us, it's a special milestone to see what God is doing here. And it actually started, I think, last year somewhere where we started praying in this area specifically. And maybe I'll share more on another night why we sit here tonight and things are happening like it's happening. I want to thank everybody that made this evening possible, that contributed. Some of you guys coming from, I almost said Walvis Bay, Caroline, but you are just on the other side, not Walvis now. Anyway, but so many of the volunteers, and we're excited to see what God is about to do in the next coming weeks. Amen. You got to help me preach here tonight. Okay. Don't be as silent as the morning service. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Saki. At least I've got 1 year. And I'm going to try keep on doing that all the time. Amen. Amen. Ja, say. Jy mag maar saam preek. Jy mag maar praat in kerk. You can do that. That's okay. Okay. And if it's noisy in here, that's also fine. Don't worry. I won't be bothered by that. And if you are bothered by that, just relax a little bit. Okay. I want to share with you quickly, this time it's quickly, eh? We promised to do it a little bit different because we want to spend time with you as well. In Genesis 12, if you've got your Bibles here, I think we've got it up here. We'll flip it up at the back here. Genesis 12, and Uncle Abram, the man with the long beard, it's not Reno at the back there, but I don't know why we think Abram's got the beard, huh? Never the Bible didn't tell us that, but I've got this picture. I don't know, do you have that picture in your mind of Abram, the long beard? I think because we sang the song. I don't know where the... Just for a moment, I thought about that. But and I'll show you on this concept of line crosses tonight. I've been away the last week, and we went to the south where I come from. I know some of you there, Danny, and Albie. He's just a little bit, went a little bit further south to very, very far south. And Danny and some of you I know from there, Kitmanswerp, and I went to my hometown, Karasburg, which is like, you know, you blink your eye and you're through that, you know, you... That's on, anyway, so we spent some time there. We went hunting, doing all kinds of stuff there. But on our way back here, my kids sat in the back of the car and they kept themselves busy. That's always a prayer thing to keep them for 1,000 to 100 kilometers busy in a journey. And they were busy coloring. And my little one, she's 5 years old, she was coloring. She took the book of the other one. She started coloring. And then I heard a scream and a complaint. I said, she's coloring over the lines. And she's not, there's not a beautiful picture. And this is my picture and all of that. And then I realized she's got a different picture, different view of what she wants to color, not necessarily what the picture says. But here's the thing. We've been taught by life. We've been conditioned that stay within the lines. You know, color the picture, but just stay within the lines. Because if you stay within the lines, you'll be okay. Where did that come from? Huh? Who made that rule? I don't know. People. We've been told just stay within the lines, because that's within the lines you will be safe. That's a it's a nice place to stay. There's a boundary. And even tonight, as you sit here, they are insignificant, or not insignificant, but they are boundaries that you can't necessarily see, but they're there. You don't want to go there. But you know that if I go there, I'm crossing a boundary. Now, boundaries sometimes are not always bad. I just want to say that as well. Okay, I've got kids. I know I had to set boundaries. We all went through school. We went through different stages and things. But the thing is, boundaries are necessary for us to protect us. Okay, so it's necessary. But sometimes there are invisible boundaries that keep us from reaching the fullness of God. Amen. Hey? And we're talking about those boundaries tonight. Okay. We're not talking about the healthy boundaries that God even sets for us. Scripture is filled with those boundaries. But I honestly believe that the world and the society and people sometimes place boundaries around us to conform us to their, to perform according to their expectation instead of being ourselves, instead of doing what God has called us to do. Amen. Tonight, tell the person tonight next to you, I'm going to be a line crosser. I'm going to be a line crosser tonight, after tonight. Okay, tonight, after tonight, you can color that picture as you would love to. Nobody's going to tell you it's dirty. My little one, she says, we're praying one night, she says, she's praying this prayer. She says, God help us that we would not tell the other Mikey that their picture is ugly. Okay. After tonight, nobody is allowed to tell you your picture is ugly. You're going to cross the line. Okay. There's a man in Scripture, a beardy man, Abram, that crossed the line once, that echoed into eternity so that we can sit here tonight and still hear the repercussion and the result of one man that decided to cross the line, and we are here tonight. Amen. Genesis 12, read with me. And let me give you some, or let's read Genesis 11 because it's important. One day, Genesis 11, verse 31, because I want you to see this. One day, Terah, this is father, or Abram's son, took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. Interesting story there. It's interesting that the Bible would tell us that part of detail. And then it carries on in chapter 12, and this is where we want to pick it up this night. But I want you to bear in mind, Abram's father moved towards Canaan, up to Ur. He stopped there, and then he died there. I guess he was called for something more, but he didn't do that. And the Bible says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and you all your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Sure, man, hopefully it wouldn't take me 75 years to cross the line. Okay, I think all of us tonight are under 75, so that's still a lot of lines to cross tonight in our story. But here's the thing, and I quickly want to share, and four things tonight. If we want to be line crossers tonight for Christ, there are four things that we need to realize when we look at the life of Abram when God called him. The first thing, if we want to be line crossers in the kingdom of God, we must be willing to leave the known for the unknown. Think about Abram. I mean, he loved that place. I think he loved the place. I think he grew up in that place. This is where his father brought him up. You know, I don't know why it is like that. Maybe you don't have that. But there's something special about the place where you grew up for some other reason. Doesn't matter how ugly that place is. Doesn't matter how small that place is. Doesn't matter what people say about that place. I grew up there. I've got something special about that place. Beautiful memories, you know. You may not treasure that same memory. But you've got that known where you know, this is the safe place. Abram had that place. You know, Bruce Wilkinson, a guy that wrote the book called The Dream Giver. Is it The Dream Giver? Who's written that book? I'm giving away my age. A little book, when I started reading that little book about the dream, and God gives you a book. And I remember a couple of years ago, I started reading that book when I was busy pursuing into the ministry that calling, and it's just a story about God giving us that dream, and we start following that dream. But here's the thing, Bruce wrote this book, and he said there's seven steps, and the first step, it always starts with that dream. God places a dream inside of us. You know what, I want to become that. This is what I want to do for Jesus. This is my passion. This is where I want to go. And then between the dream, there's that stage called the comfort stage. Amen. I want to go there. I've got this idea. I've got this thought. I've got this dream. But hey, this lekker hier, man. And then you cross through the comfort stage to that place called the borderland. And the borderland overlaps with the comfort stage or the comfort zone. And it's a little bit of that and a little bit of that. Because here's the thing. Within that borderland, you will find familiar people. They will try, people you know, familiar situations, because they want to draw you back. The moment you cross over into that unknown, it wants to draw you back because they are uncertain how they will cope with the situation. So people will tell you, just stay there. Hey, man, don't be too radical. Don't go too far. Don't cross that line because, hey, this is safe on this side. And I don't know about Abram, about the conversations he and Sarah had in the tent there, on the house. Listen, Abram, are you sure about this? Did you really hear God? Are you sure about this dream that you're pursuing, about this voice that you heard, about where you're going? Did you think about that? Isn't it interesting that whenever God comes to us and he wants to move us on into the unknown, you always have the realistic people around you. I don't know if you've been there. I'll tell you what. You get them. And they're beautiful people. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just very realistic. Just tell you, man, just chill down. You're a bit, you're scaring me. You know, can you just think about the facts and what will happen? And I don't, you know, we have that type of people around us, and I'm not knocking any person here tonight, because sometimes we need wisdom. Sometimes we need to ask people to help us along this journey, but you need to make sure that you move according to the voice of God and not according to the opinion of man and according to the popularity of man. And God would call us to that place, to cross that line. And then we have these people, you know, when I've been in the South now, it's, you know, you get used to your area. And I love hunting. Sorry that I'm talking so much about hunting. It's taking a while for me just to get rid of this hunting week of me. So I'll just spill that out for another second or two. But we were hunting in a different farm with Quentin there. And, you know, I never, ever hunted there before. Totally different territory. But normally I would drive in the field and I would see in a spot a kudu or a springbok just easily. But because the territory was so different, I'd stand there and say, where are the springboks? I mean, Quentin's boy, he was with us there as well, and he would see a springbok for everything. Springbok, springbok! And I'm like, no, man, this is not a springbok. Springbok, springbok! No, chill now. So, and you're standing there with a rifle just ready to do that. But we saw outside our comfort, outside our familiar territory, and I'm just relying upon every possible sense in my body just to pick that up. Because suddenly my eyes are not as trained anymore. But we get to that place where we're so comfortable in that area where we know everything. Think about Abram. He knew the rainfall of the area. He knew more or less what he had. This is the thing, when God calls us to a place where he wants us to move, the cost that we need to count, and we know what we have, we don't always know what we're going to get on the other side. Eh? This is when logic kicks in. No, but what if? And Abram probably had that situation in front of him. A wife, a few realistic people, a few around him that are telling him, listen, count the cost. You know you've got field for your sheep, enough food. You probably have a nice house. Now you have to settle in a tent and all of that conversation that might have gone on. But Abram decided to cross that line into the unknown. That's a scary line. When I was 24, 23, working, and then I heard God saying, moving to England. You know, at that stage in my life, that was probably the bravest thing I've ever done. People told me, the realistic people told me at that stage, are you sure what you're doing here? Are you sure you heard God? You know, and many of us sit here tonight. Maybe you moved here to this town, and you had that word, and God said, just move. And that's the kind of faith that pleases God. When we get to that place and say, God, I'm willing to take you on your word. Sometimes, when we walk longer with God, the logic kicks in, we start reasoning, and then we start bargaining, and we say to God, okay, God, you need to give me a few more reasons, and God, you need to explain this. But I think the kind of faith that pleases God is that, yes, God, I will do. And here's the thing. The shorter we live, or the shorter we are with God on this journey, hear me out tonight. The shorter you are with God on this journey, the less contaminated you are with that reasoning, in a way. Because that's the type of faith that God requires of all of us. A blind sight or blind childlike faith that says, yes, Lord, I'll just do it. I'll be stupid for you. Amen. Who wants to be stupid for God? Hey, I don't care. I'll be stupid for God. The world can think, you know what, you're stupid. That's fine. I'll be stupid. Paul said that. I'll be a fool for God. But that's okay, man. They can call me a fool. But that's faith. What's your spiritual known area tonight? I believe God is taking us into an unknown area. Spoke about that briefly and touching on that this morning. But all of us here, none of us excluded in this room tonight, has got a spiritual known or unknown area. All of us has got a spiritual unknown area in your life. And God is saying to you tonight, cross that barrier into the unknown. Maybe for you it's just the hands. I don't know. Maybe my kids asked me this morning, we're singing in tongues in the second service, so my kids say to me, Daddy, what tongue did you, what language did you sing in there? What language did you speak? So now I have to explain to them. An unknown maybe for some. And I'm not saying that you're wrong necessarily if you don't know that. It's just that God invites you to that place of more in Him. And it's progressively, it's a place that God would take us with you, working with you. He's not going to force you into that place. He's inviting you, as He's inviting Abram, cross that line into the land of the unknown. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the same tomorrow or next year. I want to say at least, God, I've discovered something more about you, about the unknown, about the God that's continuing to reveal Himself. You know what? If you have still 80 years, I don't know, not even 80 years, 60 years left tonight on earth, I'm telling you what, that there's more of God to discover in the 60 years than you have left here on earth. 50 years, 40 years. That's the kind of God we serve, and I want to push through that barrier. The second thing tonight, if we want to be line crossers, we must allow our actions to validate our belief system. What do I mean with that? God speaks to Abram, verse 2 and 3. Listen to what he's saying. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. God actually comes and he speaks something prophetically over Abram. Have you ever given a compliment to somebody and you really meant it? And then the person says, oh no, but that's not me, you know, I'm not that good, I'm sorry. My grandmother used to do that with when she was making food. We'd say, Granny, this is such nice food. And she would go, oh no, it's not, it's really not that nice. It's too much salt, you know, it's too sweet. And then we start joking about this. But here's the thing, God would speak over Abram. He gives him an instruction, he speaks over his future, and the promise is only validated, it's not automatic, the moment he steps out in obedience. If we want to believe and see that what happens in our lives, what God is saying in our lives, we need to step out into obedience. It validates our belief system. You cannot say here tonight, I'm a child of God, I'm blessed, but you're not willing out to step out into that place where you can experience that. Amen? God's got a specific plan. I'm a firm believer of that. Specific plan for each and everyone. Handwritten picture paper or that is colored or not colored for you, that is drawn for you, for your life. And he speaks that over your life and he says, this is where you are. This is where I'm taking you. This is what I want to do in your life. Step out into obedience. Cross that line into the unknown. Other morning, I'm sitting, spending time with the Lord. You know, from time to time, you get these moments when God would open the curtain into your future. And I sat there, and the Lord gives me a blink into my future. And I know, God, this is where I'm going. But then God closes the door again and says, okay, we're here now. Just carry on doing. Sometimes God gives you that blink. And maybe you sit here tonight, and you know where you're going. Maybe you sit here tonight, you don't know. But I'm here to tell you tonight, step out in faith. Because God wants to activate. For your faith, it's going to be activated. Abram was not just a man of faith. He was also a man filled with a willingness just to go wherever God has planted him. But here's the thing. The late doctor, or not doctor, preacher, reverend. He was a doctor, sorry. A.W. Tozer said this. He lived in 1897 to 1963. Man, I never met. But I've read many of his stuff. And he said this, which is so significant. He said, anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. Isn't that amazing to think about that? That's the kind of God we serve. Somebody once said, listen to these words. The world has yet to see what God can do through a man or a woman who has totally surrendered unto God. We have not yet seen that. If we can reach that place where we completely surrender unto God, God would do amazing things for our lives. Not so that we would find or catch the shine, but purely so that we reflect, God, it's all for you. It's all for you. If we want to be line crossers tonight, we must exchange fear for faith. You know, every time we step beyond that line, logic kicks in. Why would it be that the Bible gives us 365 fear nots? There's not a joke, but a saying out in church that there's a fear not for every day of your life. Fear not. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, there's a voice that would probably tell you you're going to fail. You're not going to make it. You know what the enemy would sometimes do? He will remind you of all the failures before you. Think about Daniel and his friends. They burn that, or they heat up that fire and the gods burn. And what would the enemy do? They will remind you of the gods that burned in front of the fire. I'm going to send you in there, but they died. Are you willing to step that? Are you willing to cross that line into that fire? But just remember, somebody before you died, before you crossed that line. That's exactly what the enemy will do. And if we want to be like Abram tonight, and what God has called us to be, we'll have to exchange fear for faith. And I can tell you what, it's a continuous thing. We are never We are never separated or in a way separate from that, that we are not exposed to fear. It comes and it knocks on our door daily. We are standing in this church on the brink of some of the biggest things, building our new church building that I'm so excited, but there are a lot of logic around that as well. There are a lot of what if. What if this happens? What if you miss the Lord? What if this? Or are we going to choose to believe God? What about your life? Where are you operating still in fear where God is saying to you tonight, exchange that for faith tonight and believe that I am the God that will take you through. There's a story about a small, in Nevada, in America, about a clock of the long now. And it says that that clock ticks once a year. It chimes once a century in every, and we hadn't happened yet, every 10,000 years, the cuckoo will come out, you know. Can I just say to you, that's not the type of faith that God would require of us. Every now and then, we just give it a try. Just give it a try. When God speaks to you tonight, my friend, I guess he's saying to all of us here tonight, tonight when you hear my voice, do not delay. That's what Scripture says. Today when you hear my voice, do not delay. There's something that's activated the moment we step out in faith. And the last one, you can say amen. Hey, we're almost at the hot chocolate. Verse 7 and 8, look at this. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. This is after he left. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated to the Lord, and he worshipped to the Lord. Isn't it interesting? Here's the thing. The moment Abram crossed the line into unknown territory, from a known into an unknown territory, the very first thing he would do is to build an altar for the Lord there. Say, Lord, this is yours. I don't know this area, but this is belonging to you. I'm doing something prophetically here. I'm consecrating, I'm dedicating, I'm giving this unto you. Can I say this to you? You're going to cross unknown territory. And the best thing you can ever do is to dedicate that territory, that job, that situation, whatever it might be, immediately unto the Lord. You don't know what's lying ahead of you. And if we can be like an Abram that would build altars in hostile territory, claiming that territory for God, I tell you what, we'll take the world apart. Say, God, this is yours. We're going to plant an altar here. We're going to place this. We're going to pray over this ground. We're going to declare, God, let your favor come in this workplace. Father, we thank you for your hand upon me. We thank you, Lord, that even though it's ahead of me, even though I do not know what's happening, what's in front of me, that you are already in front of me. Tonight, I build that altar. Tonight, I acknowledge that you are here, that you brought me. Fishing. Listen, guys. Before I go to the fishing, got your attention there maybe for a moment. Abram ministers to us till this day because of that, because of the fact that he changed the atmosphere, because of the fact that he crossed that line, going into unknown territory, building an altar for God, declaring to God, this is yours, Lord. The people in this place, where I am, is going to be your people. Because where I am around in that area, I believe, God, that your spirit inside of me is going to influence that people. Here I am, Lord. You've got an open book. They say that in Scripture, made a study, that in 132 cases, Jesus, we see situations. Now, there's more, but that's been written in Scripture. We've got situations or stories where Jesus made contact with people. 132. Six of them were in the temple, four of them in the synagogue. In other words, church in our days. Only 10. Where were the rest? Out there, touching people daily. Church, the book, the Bible is written around that. What am I trying to say to you tonight? Out there, we can make such a difference. Not just here tonight. We're just equipped here. We're just enjoying one another for an hour, hour and a half, and then I say goodbye, see you next week maybe. Then we've got a, how many hours? Who's the good mathematician here tonight, huh? I don't know. How many hours you've got this next week just to continue going wild for God? Say, God, I'm going to cross the barriers. I'm going to cross the line. I'm going to dedicate this place. I'm not going to act in fear. I'm going to move out in faith. I'm going to validate my belief system through my actions. I'm going to live out what I believe. I'm not just going to say that. I'm going to live that. Tell you what, Jesus is about to show up in your life if you're willing to go there. Amen. Close your eyes with me. There's a story, and I'll close with a story while every eye is closed, about a man called William Carey. He was a cobbler in England. And William Carey, in the 1700s, said he was a cobbler making shoes, and he had a prayer map up in the world, of the world up in his workshop. And he would pray for the nations, and suddenly God would start stirring his heart. And one day he would share this vision with other older, logical people. And then and the reverend would say to William Carey, "Young man, sit down. If God wants to change the world and reach the heathen, he would do it without you." But William Carey didn't allow that words to sink into his spirit. He actually left that. He walked away from that. He moved with the call of God. He crossed the line. He went into India. And for many years, he moved his family there. He was serving there. And it took him 7 years. Listen, 7 years to baptize his first convert. And man, you have to be determined to make sure that God, you heard God. But when William Carey contracted malaria, his little boy later died, 5 years old, died at the age of 5 years old. His wife fell sick. She was physically sick, and then she became mentally sick. She was constrained, and that she even accused him of adultery and all kinds of things. And he went through a valley, and he said this: "This is indeed the valley of the shadow of death to me, but I rejoice that I'm here notwithstanding, and God is here." By the time Carey died, 41 years later in India, without any holiday, only 700 people, only 700 people in a nation of millions came to Christ. But here's the thing. Carey's work never was lost. Carey played a remarkable role in translating the Bible until this day. It's being used. And for the mere eye into the world out there, into the logical people, it didn't make sense. A man would spend 41 years just for 700 people. But that what God has called him is still today effectively busy bringing forth a harvest. I don't know where you are while every eye is closed, but I honestly believe that God wants you to cross that line. And the biggest and the line that you can ever cross, the bravest line that you can cross tonight, is the line to cross into eternity with Jesus. Say, "Jesus, tonight I want to be with you." And I'm not talking about dying, don't worry. I'm just talking about opening up your heart and surrendering unto Christ. Maybe you've been living your life your way, the highway, my way. And tonight you realize that you are at that place where you're empty, that life is in front of you. But tonight God is inviting you to that place, to cross that line, where he's extending an invitation to you tonight and say, "Cross over. Cross over to my side." While nobody's looking around. And you want to make that decision. I remember many years ago, at the age of 14 years, one night at a concert, somebody gave that same invitation to me. My life continued to change forever after that, and ever and still this day, because of the decision that I made that night to cross the line. If that's you tonight, and I know nobody's looking around, just quickly where you sit, can you just quickly give me an indication? Slap up your hand, just say, "Yaku, pray with me. That's me. I need to make that decision tonight. I need to cross that line. I need to invite Jesus into my life tonight." Thank you, Jesus. You can keep up your hand just wherever you are. Nobody's looking around. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I know God is speaking to more people. You can lower your hand once you've raised that. There are more people, two more people that I sense God is speaking to. Tonight you know that you want to cross that line and say, "Jesus, come and take control of my life. Here I am." Thank you, Jesus. I can see that hand. You can lower that. Thank you, Jesus. One more person I sense the Holy Spirit is saying to me. There's one more person. He's just waiting for you. This is your night tonight. The 1st of September. God wants to do a new thing in your life. New birth. Something new. Believers, pray with me. There's a wrestle on. One more person here tonight. Then I'm going to pray for all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm just going to wait for a moment. You're so special that God says, "I'm waiting for you. There's a battle on for your soul. There's a battle on right now." Thank you, Jesus. I can see that. I'm going to ask, let us all stand for a moment. Come, let us all stand. We're all going to stand. I'm going to ask you, if you raise your hand, you're going to do the bravest thing you've ever done in your life. You're going to walk to the front We're not going to be shy about the decision that you were making tonight. I want you to come and stand here with me. If you've raised your hand tonight, I want you to quickly slip out of your chair, wherever you are. Come stand here with me. Let's give them a hand. Let's give them a hand. Come on, this is something beautiful here. This is something beautiful. Amen. Let's cheer them on, man. This is something to celebrate. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight for what you're doing in our midst. We thank you for every person standing here in the front tonight. I want you to pray with me, every one of you that's in the front here. Those of you at the back, you can also pray with me, but I'm praying specifically to you, standing here with you this morning of the night tonight here. And I'm asking you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I surrender completely. I give you full access tonight to my life. I confess my sin and I receive eternal life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.